My name is Ramika, and this is where I share everything I know about how to outlive and heal from childhood trauma. I truly believe it comes down to two concepts: learning how to love in a healthier way and learning how to matter in a meaningful way. We'll walk through practical and maybe sometimes even challenging ways to heal so that you can love and matter with more impact. Welcome to Kinfolk. So I kind of stray away from talking any kind of specific numbers when it comes to money, just because, I mean, there's a lot of layers to it and it's so personal and based on your background. But I want to share a little bit about some of the milestones that I had hit, just so that when I talk to you about motivation, it sits, it resonates a little bit deeper. 2022, and I share about 2022 because socially, that is when I shared some of the biggest milestones in my life. I had closed on my first home by myself. I built a six-figure business. I had purchased a bunch of furniture and gotten to do a lot of brand deals. I got a raise from my company and just got to work remote. It was a really big year. And it was in that year where I got asked the most I think I've ever gotten asked in my life, how do I stay so motivated? And the irony there is I know that I had hit the biggest milestones in my life. And even in the moment, without having to reflect back, I remember thinking in the moment of hitting some of those biggest milestones that I had felt the least motivated in my entire life. And so those of you who are feeling right in this moment, demotivated, you don't feel like doing anything, but you really want to accomplish a lot in your life, hopefully that's reassuring to you. The points in my life where I hit some of the biggest milestones were also, when I look over the course of that year, the year where I felt the least motivated in my life. So I want to share that with you because I want you to know that if that is true, which it is, you guys watched it happen on social media as it was happening for me in my real life, then what's also true is that your lack of feeling motivated is not what's holding you back. So let's talk about what is then. Because if it isn't true that you have to feel motivated and you can still get things accomplished, then what is holding you back from accomplishing some of the big milestones that you want to have in your life? And I think it comes down to principles, obviously. I share them all of the time. And I kind of just try to narrow down the most critical when I am in pursuit of a big goal, because I really want it to be something that you can just take and apply to your life, and whatever goal that you have set out to accomplish, apply these principles and see yourself accomplish the goal. I always think about my life in reverse, and it sounds kind of dark, but just go with me because that's just how my mind processes. But I will share this over and over again because it is truly how I wake up and try to live my life. I think of my life in reverse. And so I think about the end of my life and I work my way back to the point that I'm living right now. And so that's even how I talk myself through painful emotions or hard times or rough transitions, anything that I really want to be temporary. It's easier to think about it when I zoom out and I think about my life at the end. The present moment and the present hurdle or the present just hardship that I'm going through, it just gets a lot less significant and it feels a lot less daunting when I'm thinking about the end of my life. And so it really does help me keep things in perspective. And I would say that that's probably the first principle that I live my life with. Now, what also helps when it comes to living every single day, when I think about my life in reverse, is it really pushes me to make the most out of every day, because I don't know when the end of my life is going to happen. And so if it's on my heart to connect with a friend, or if it's on my heart to serve someone or give something of myself or, you know, of what I have, then I don't know, I could be gone tomorrow. And I would have wanted to do that today. So I try to make it happen. So a lot of what I don't share on my Living Single and Dating Myself episodes are the ways that I just try to give, because I don't think, I never want my generosity to be put on as a show, but I think it's a big part of how you accomplish things in your life. I think it's really hard to accomplish things if you aren't comfortable with being generous with what you have. Like, they go hand in hand. And I know it seems counterintuitive, like you have to be tight-fisted or just kind of be a little bit selfish. And I think, yeah, you can make that argument for the people who want to accomplish things too. But I think that there's a way to accomplish things and be generous while you're doing it. And so I want you to know that that's an option if that's how you want to pursue. But I think the way that you choose that perspective is by thinking about your life in reverse. And so start at the end of your life and think all the way back to the moment or the day that you're in. And I'll break it down to the very minute. How do I want to spend this minute of my life? And some days I just have to take it minute by minute, depending on what kind of season I'm in. The second principle I would say really helps me accomplish things, it's this concept of comfort or character. You can only choose one. So you can't live a comfortable life and also think you're going to produce character growth. And you can't be in a character growth type situation and also expect complete comfort. So you have to choose one. And I think that's ultimately what my first point was. It's that there is freedom in thinking about motivation as an emotion, because what it really comes down to is your own personal decision to choose. And when you make it as simple as choosing comfort or character, it breaks down the choice, right? Like, in this very moment, I can eat this, and this might be easier, more convenient in this very moment. And so I'm going to choose comfort. Your trade-off is your character growth, right? Like, it might have taken more time, more prep, more pre-work to make food at home or to grocery shop so that you have supplies at home. But ultimately, pushing through those obstacles is going to produce the character that you were hoping to accomplish. And just apply this to any area of your life. I don't mean to minimize it to diet, but I think that's a concept that we all have a grasp on, right? Like, we understand that it comes down to a choice. And so when people ask the question, how does one stay so motivated? It kind of just assumes that the person is feeling motivated at all. And if you just choose to think about motivation as an emotion, then it really just becomes insignificant at all. Like, you don't even need to factor motivation into the equation. Because whether or not that person is motivated, is feeling an emotion, they could still be doing or making a decision. And that is the concept of comfort or character. like in each moment, breaking down my decisions and deciding, am I choosing comfort or am I choosing character here? And what do I want long term when I think about my life at the end of my life? Do I want to be someone who was pursuing a comfortable life or character growth? And truly the irony is that we choose comfort because we really want to be comfortable, because we don't want to do hard things at times, or, you know, like the expense, it just, the cost seems too high. And I don't mean financially all the time, right? The cost of time, the cost of energy, the cost of emotion, the cost of whatever, you fill in the blank, the cost just feels too high, which is why we a lot of times default to comfort. But choosing the comfortable, least effort route a lot of times ends us up in a more difficult spot, right? Like that's the true irony, is that when we choose and pursue comfort in our decisions and we just make the easy decision, 9 times out of 10, we're going to end up in a hole that's going to require like 10 times the amount of character to get us out of. You don't get to avoid the character aspect. You just end up delaying it by choosing comfort. And that truly is the irony of the entire situation. And so it's really the choice that you're actually making is, do you want to choose character now or do you want to choose it later? And that's really what helps me make a decision in the moment. The second principle is reframing your story. What do I mean by this? I think a lot of times we don't place enough weight on the way that we think about things. And because we don't place enough weight about the significance of what we think about, what we talk about all the time, we start building these stories and have all of this meaning and significance that we didn't even realize we were attaching, because we never really thought it was significant. But that's not how our brains work. Like when I was talking about it in an earlier episode, our brain literally creates neurological pathways, because our brain just wants us to be able to think and process in the most efficient, fastest way possible, right? Like that's just how it works. The quicker we can do something, the quicker we can process, the quicker we can resolve stress in our brain. And our brain wants to alleviate us of stress. And so we create neurological pathways. And over the course of 21 days, that just ingrains a habit. And what a habit is literally a neurological pathway that just fires off, and it's able to get things done without you thinking about it, because your brain is just so used to you responding in a certain way. Why do I talk about this? The way that we frame our stories about what we're doing and about what happened matters to us. And so when we think about accomplishments, one of the easiest ways to sabotage yourself from pursuing your ambition, whatever it is that you get discouraged because you weren't able to do it perfectly, or you weren't able to accomplish it in the way that you thought you were going to be able to accomplish it, or maybe you messed up, right? And so that's what we tell ourselves. We failed. We're too behind. We started too late. It's 22 days into the year and we haven't done what we said we were going to do. You know, like we just start running this tape. And it's probably not just in this area of your life with the goals that you set for this year, but it's probably how you just show up in other areas of your life too. When you mess up, when you do something wrong, when you know, like you have decided it's a negative thing, and then you tell yourself a story. And the more you've done that all over your life, the more it's solidified that pathway in your brain that that's just the way that you want to think about situations where you mess up, where you don't do it exactly how you set out to do it, how you plan to do it. And so it's a very demotivating place to be. And so that's why it's so important to start reframing the way that you think about it, right? Consider instead of, oh, it's 22 days in and I haven't done anything yet, or I haven't accomplished my goal of X, Y, and Z, like fill in the blank. What if instead you realized we're only 22 days in? You have literally the whole year. You only need 21 days to make a habit happen. Only live 22 days into the new year. What if you considered giving yourself grace instead and framed it, oh, I needed a break. I took some time. I was able to rest more. I was able to just catch up on some of my shows. What's wrong with that? That is a more motivating way to start processing what you might perceive previously as setbacks. Because we all know that the quickest way to give up is to feel like you can't do it at all. So why even start? Why even go for it? Why even get back up and continue? Well, in this example, you have all of the freedom to continue because you haven't really done anything wrong, right? You reframed the way that you're thinking about it. In that same concept, I think we spend a lot of time. I was listening to another podcast, or I was reading an article, one of the two, and it was just talking about the amount of time that we spend just being really hard on ourselves or talking about something bad that happened, right? Like we start complaining and we'll spend like a month complaining about the same thing. Or if we like messed up at work or we got in trouble, like we spend so much time. It comes up in our conversation. Somebody asked us how our day was. It's the first thing that we think about to talk about. You know, like you want to accomplish something else and then it reminds you of that situation. And so you bring it up again, either to yourself, you're probably praying about it, you're discouraged, you know, like it just gets dragged out when we have a low or something bad that happens to us. And then in contrast, when we do something really big or when we do something positive, maybe for, I don't know, I think he listed off reasons of like false humility or, you know, we want to be modest. We want to like not be showy. We don't spend as much time celebrating our wins. And he kind of just proposed, what if we talked about our wins as much as we complained about the bad things or our losses? Like how that would shift things, right? And even in our minds, like how big of a deal that would become in our minds, right? We talk about when you repeat things, that creates emphasis. It's just a literary tactic, right? Like if somebody repeats things multiple times, that gives us an indicator, hey, that's important. Oh, that's significant. Oh, I should listen up. So the same thing happens when something bad happens to us and we repeat that 10 times as much as when something good, or we do something or we accomplish something good and we only say it one time. Like it's literally sending a message to our brains that the bad is so much more significant than the good. And so reframing that and starting to figure out ways to celebrate your wins in a louder way, to emphasize those, to repeat those, so that your brain starts making the connection, hey, this is a big deal. That's how you start to shift and feel more motivated. I call this principle, take your supplements. And I actually just started taking more supplements. I'm nearing 30 now. And so, you know, I started doing some research on aging, and I know that's laughable to many of you, and feel free to laugh. I laughed when I was reading up on it and just the thoughts that I had. But that said, I started taking magnesium. I also started taking B12, and I have noticed a difference because the types of foods that I eat, I try to eat higher protein foods, but it's really hard for me to like sneak as much fiber as I need, or I just know that there's some gaps in my nutrients that I'm not getting. And those are like the top, like part of a top five list that I just saw on so many different articles about women and the supplements that you take at certain ages, right? Like women are just notoriously low in B12 and magnesium. So I started taking them and I noticed a difference. That said, that's not even what this is about. It sounds like I'm going to talk to you about taking vitamins, but identify areas in your life where there is a deficiency and consider what kinds of supplements could help just match you or meet you where you're at and kind of aid in that deficiency. I'll break this down a little bit more. I have in my life, there's some areas where I'm just like, I'm noticing some deficiencies, right? Like I have processed through a lot of my trauma, but there's still another layer and it keeps coming up and I keep getting stuck in all of my relationships. Like there's just this theme that's threading through all of my relationships, and there are like deep relationships once they get to a certain point. And I just like catch myself and I know it's a trauma response, but I don't know what to do with it. And I also noticed an area with my boundaries just all over my life, period, that like I'm really struggling. And I think they're connected, but I'm not sure. I'm just getting stuck. What I could do is try to sort through this on my own and try to process and, you know, read a bunch of books this year about it. But I also know that like getting therapy and going to therapy is super helpful for me to process through my emotions and talk to somebody who is experienced and can provide insight and help me process those things too. So this year I found a therapist. I talked to like some people that are close in my circle. And so they were able to make a recommendation. And I am starting up therapy this week, but this is something that I have been preparing for the last 3 months, just getting everything in line. I started a new job, so I had to switch over my HSA and all of these things to prepare for it. But my point is I identified the deficiency, found a supplement, therapy, and that's going to help aid me in this area that is just really hard and I know is going to block me from being able to pursue and matter and love with the impact that I want to in my life. And so consider areas where you need to take some supplements. Like maybe genuinely part of your ambition is to have more of a holistic diet and holistic view of your own nutrition. So maybe you will be taking vitamins. Maybe you are going to go to the dentist. Like maybe you're going to do stuff that is directly related to your health. But think of supplements in a way that can just help aid you in any area of your life that there's a deficiency. One of the other areas of my life, financially, I have goals with my investments and just wanting to understand more financially what I'm doing and how to get to the next step in terms of my investment so that I can build wealth and build just a solid foundational wealth. And so this year I decided I'm going to start researching accountants and I'm going to hire an accountant this year and they're going to handle my taxes and, you know, be somebody who can just give me advice on what the next step should be able to take. But a deficiency where on my own, I could, again, buy a bunch of books, listen to podcasts. I will still, do a lot of my own research in tandem, but is there a supplement out there? And, what is that cost? Like, is it going to cost you time? Is it going to cost you, your emotional health? Is it going to cost you money? Is it going to cost, what is it going to cost? Can you afford it? And if you can, take the supplement, just to help give you a little bit more leverage as you're accomplishing your goals. The last thing I wanted to mention, because this is pretty key, and I know it's probably one of the areas that everybody talks about when it comes down to thinking about motivation and your goals, but it really is a big deal who you surround yourself with. And I don't just mean this physically. Who you allow to take up your thoughts and consume just anything that you watch and that you listen to is going to influence how you accomplish your goals. And it can be very demotivating to be around people who do not understand what you have set out to do and how you have set out to matter and love and have an impact. And so it really is important, as you're just filtering through, like if you're on social media, take some time to filter through who's going to be on your For You page. Who's the algorithm going to push? And make sure that you're unfollowing or following accounts that are going to help you accomplish the goals, so that when you are on social media, when you're not actively like working towards your goals, you're being surrounded by and you're listening and you're watching people who are in pursuit of the same things that you want. The saying goes, you are who you surround yourself with. And so it really does matter that you are surrounding yourself and you're allowing yourself to be influenced by people who are living their lives in a way that you would want to imitate, because intentionally or subconsciously, you're going to end up living your life like them. They're going to be the people that are feeding you advice, that are going to be talking to you about how to make decisions. They're going to be the ones who are going to give you access to, opportunities and making recommendations. And so it's going to lead you down a path of decisions that you may or may not want to go down, depending on who those people are. So just make sure that the people who are close enough to influence you and the shows that you're watching and the things that you're listening to and the songs that you listen to, I know that this seems like I'm being extreme, but it's playing a tape. It's starting to tell you a story. And you want to make sure that that's the story you want to see lived out in your life. I am very picky with the advice that I choose to take. And as you can imagine, I get a lot of unsolicited advice, some solicited, but people I don't know that well. But I'm very picky with the people who are close enough in my circle that when they say something, they have enough influence to literally impact the next decision that I'm going to make. And I have people in my life who have that kind of influence in my life. I want them to have that kind of impact and influence, because the people who are the closest to me are the people that I also would love to live like, right? Like, I would not care in the least bit if I accidentally woke up one day and happened to be living my life like any one of those people who are close enough to me to influence the decisions that I make. And I want you to be so confident that you can say the same thing about your circle. And I don't want you to feel bad or feel guilty for being so picky about the people that you allow to influence you. It's the same thing about the books I read, the music I listen to, the shows that I watch. Like, people might think that this is extreme, but I tell you what, I know for a fact, because it's also scientifically proven, that what we feed ourselves is what we become. And so if you don't want to become the things that you're watching, the things that you're listening to, the things that surround you, the people that are surrounding you, if you don't want to become like them, then you really need to figure out a way to recreate that environment and start filtering through some of those things. Obviously, like, I'm not legalistic about it. There's some shows where I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. It's just like a fluff show, you know, but there's a line and I have to be really cautious with what my line is and live with integrity to myself in that, because that's important to me. So you decide how you want to take that advice. I'm cautioning you that there are so much support around the people that you surround yourself with. So I also say it's in contrast, there are people who are giving me advice or sharing critiques of my life. And when I look at their life, I don't want to have the life that they have. Then I also choose not to significantly weigh their input either. They don't have as much of influence over me, because the reality is I don't want to live my life the way that they are living their life. And so I don't really care to take their critique or their advice when their decisions have led them to a life that I don't want to imitate. So I think it helps me really filter through the noise in a lot of ways too. The very last thing I will share, because I think this is so easy to replicate, when it comes down to being motivated, like I said, it's a feeling. And so what I really want us to get away from is movement. There's a difference between movement and taking action. And movement, it feels like action, right? Because you're moving, you're making moves, you're doing things, right? You might be researching how to start a social media platform. And so you're watching and you're following all these accounts and you're doing all this research. And, you know, there's an element of that that's action, because you're doing a lot more than nothing. But movement just kind of gives you this false pretense that you're actually taking action to accomplish the real goal in your life, which in that example would be to start your own social media platform. So you have to move away at some point from making moves to making decisions and actions. And so I really hope that these practicals are getting you away from the movement, the cyclical movement of you just walking in circles. I've been reading a lot about this. I've been talking a lot about this. I've been saying I want to do this, but then you don't really take any action that gets you closer to accomplishing those things, right? Like when I made the decision to buy my house, I had to save up for a down payment. So there were a lot of research, right? Like that is an action, but there's only so much research I can do. And then I had deficiencies, right? Because I've never bought a house before. So then I had to take supplements. I ended up getting a realtor and I ended up, you know, like asking her a lot of advice because I didn't know a lot of stuff about buying a house. How much do I need? What is the next step I need to take? What does the outline look like, right? And then there's a point where I'm still taking action and making moves, right? Like, so I have to shift the way that I'm spending money because I have to save a lot of money so that I can afford the down payment. And then I'm also budgeting for furniture because now I will have 3 rooms and as opposed to 1-bedroom apartment. And so, you know, like all of these things, I have to start taking action. And I know I went through that really fast, but I just wanted to show you how quickly this happens and you apply these principles to what ended up happening was accomplishing moving into and closing on my first home. And so I want us to stop just talking about things and making a lot of moves that gives the semblance that we are working towards our goals, because I think a lot of these things that I've talked about, a lot of these principles, if you choose to apply them, are going to shift you from movement to taking action. And I want to hear a lot of you accomplishing the goals that you've been dreaming about and hoping for your life. That said, the last thing I wanted to talk about, because it is really so easy to apply. I know we've all heard the cliche, like, what would Jesus do, or WWJD, right? And this is literally how I choose to break down each decision in my life. I ask myself, what would that person do, right? So, in the example of buying my house, and I wanted to also get a new pair of shoes. What would the person who wants to buy a house next year do? Does she buy the pair of shoes? And sometimes, to be honest, my answer would be yes, right? Like at that time, I was drinking a lot of Starbucks. I don't drink Starbucks at all anymore, but I was drinking a lot of Starbucks. And that was one thing that at the time I wasn't willing to let go. So I didn't buy the pair of shoes because that's not what the person buying a house in that next year was going to do. But the person buying the house in the next year needed to wake up early and run a bunch of errands and needed a lot of caffeine at that time. And so I chose to go out to Starbucks a lot. But my trade-off was I wasn't going to be able to spend the money on the shoes. You know, what would a person buying a house do in terms of buying furniture? Well, is it fun to like start buying furniture ahead of time? Yeah, but do I have the space to store it? Am I going to spend more money trying to move the furniture that I've prematurely purchased? Is it going to, you know, fit in the new space? Has my style changed? So I'm going to wait to buy furniture until I get in the house. What I'm saying is I started asking myself, what would that person do? And in every decision that I would make. And I started just living my life. What happens is you'll start living your life like the person that you really want to become. I wanted to be more patient this last year. And probably one of the most painful things to grow in, because when you choose to grow in a character area, you will probably find that you get more, it just comes up all the time. I have never been in so much traffic. I've never had people work slower. I've never been served in a more poor way than this past year when I decided I was going to grow in patience. But in every moment, I was like, what would a patient person do? And a patient person, I realized, also had a great attitude. Because if they're truly patient, then they're not, you know, going off on the person who's going really slow or getting a bunch of road rage. Or like I noticed that my anger and my lack of patience went hand in hand. And so I ended up really pursuing a lot of character in just that one area. But I asked myself the question when it came down to each decision, what would a patient person do? And then I just started living my life as though I was patient, even though I wasn't, but I started becoming more and more patient. Every single area of your life, what would blank person do? And put in that blank the goal that you set to accomplish and see how it changes the way that you make decisions. I think our goals are so much closer than we truly perceive them to be, because it never had anything to do about us feeling motivated, and it has everything to do with us making decisions. So what about this challenges you? What do you want to apply to your life? Let me know in the comments, shoot me a DM, and let's plan to talk soon.